Hey everybody, thanks for downloading the show. I appreciate it. The show didn't turn out all that well. The actual show, the live event, fantastic. Couldn't have been better. The recording, lots of stuff going on. It was our first show at the Yardosphere, and while the live mix was absolutely fantastic, the recorded mix has a lot to be desired. I didn't want to just scrap these shows because a lot of people came out all the way to Arlington, and they deserve to be heard. And Maya's has works with Grady C, and she deserves to be heard. And Martin Plant is one of my new favorites. And Silo Halo dragged all their equipment up there. So here's the show. There is no monologue. Well, there was a monologue. I'm actually going to play you a little snippet of the monologue right now so you can see kind of what I'm talking about. You see what I mean? Technically, you can hear me underneath that thing of music, but you can't, so I kind of have to cut it out. That's the first 9 minutes of the show. So, the monologue was about stuff. Oh, man, I just can't use it. It's not possible to clean that up. I apologize. Oh, man. Anyways, another problem with the show is that not all the microphones on stage were turned on for the recording. So my desk mic, the mic that you see in the photos that looks old-timey, that's on the entire time, okay? So that picks up everything. Our guest microphone was not on for the recording. It was on for the room, but not the recording. So when Maya and I are talking, you'll notice that there's some breaks. It sounds like she's going to be screaming. She doesn't scream. Don't worry. It just sounds a little fuzzy. Martin, stand up. His microphone was also not on. The band microphone was on for the first 3 minutes, and my desk microphone was on the entire time. Now, this one gets better. Around 3 minutes into his interview, or to his stand-up comedy, his microphone just turns on. It's a slow transition. You won't even notice it. After that, the show's 100% fine. The band sounds fantastic. The actual band recording, Silo Halo, perfect. Couldn't have been better. So here's the show. Sorry about the weirdness of it. And if you can get through it, more power to you. If not, I totally understand. But please check out what our guests do. Check out our guests. Please, please, please check out our guests. They're absolutely fantastic. The links for all of the things that they do are in the show description, so it's extremely easy. So here's 70% of the 9:30 Saturday, October 8th show at the Artisphere.
Our first guest of the evening is the person behind Grey DC, and it's a very, very, very important thing in DC. And she's going to tell us all about it. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Maya Robinson, everybody. Maya Robinson. That was much better. Maya, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Why would you thank me? You're the one who came all the way out here from Petworth.
Actually, not that bad.
Yeah, that's right. Petworth, you should clap. It's an awesome neighborhood. What is Grey DC?
Grey DC, it's kind of like a food festival where people who are just starting out, bakers, makers of different kinds of food, can come and sell their wares to anybody who's interested.
Well, you said it's a food festival. You're not overweight, and I don't think you sell like crullers and funnel cake, do you?
I wouldn't mind.
You wouldn't mind?
Yeah.
Okay, why does DC need gray market?
DC needs a gray market because it is difficult to get into the markets that exist.
Okay. When you say the markets that exist, what are you talking about?
Like the farmers markets, like the taste of DC.
Wait, it's difficult to get into farmers markets?
Yeah, it is.
Why? Why is it difficult?
There's a lot of regulations that you have to get things together with. It costs a lot of money to apply. You have to, say the one in Columbia Heights, you have to sign up, apply. It costs $100 to apply. You have to do it 2 months ahead of time, and then they may or may not pick you. They look at what you have, and they say, you're not special enough, so we're not going to pick you.
This seems like a great Ponzi scheme. Did you ever think about going that route and just hurting local businesses? Because it seems to be really working for the Mount Pleasant Food Market.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and DuPont Circle,
yeah,
Columbia Heights,
they're great.
They're doing really well.
Yeah.
But I want to do something different.
So that's why you started it. That's the main reason it's hard to get in it. Do you grow your own food?
I do. I have a garden in my backyard, but it's pretty small.
did you try to get into these other farmers markets, and that's why you began doing this?
No, I've never been that interested in farmers markets.
Well, how are you different than a farmers market, besides like the total scam of charging $100 to apply? Because, come on, that's a scam.
Yeah, it's cheaper. The booth fee is $40. And
if someone applies and doesn't get in, do you keep the money?
No.
Why? You see, that's your first problem in terms of business. You need to hurt others to be successful. That's what I'm learning right now. Yeah. You know, Jay Leno is very successful doing just what I said.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it seems like a very altruistic thing to do.
Yeah, it's first come, first serve, so I'm not judging anybody.
Aww.
Anybody who wants to do it.
What? I think that's the appropriate time to say, aw, she's doing something for the good of the man. That's very rare in D.C. Come on, this town is fueled by people in ill-fitting suits, coke, and deals that I can't possibly understand because I'm poor. Why does D.C. need this?
Because there needs to be options for vendors who are just starting up.
Okay.
If you don't have a lot of money, it costs quite a bit of money to start a food truck. It costs a lot of money to start a restaurant. And if you just want to see, I have this great idea, I want to sell mini cupcakes, and I want to see people like it, before you invest all this money to get licensed and
So it's kind of like the minor leagues of doing. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think my baseball analogies are always great because most people that like podcasts also love baseball. I was lying. They don't like sports usually. Okay, so are you going to go to the Taste of D.C. this weekend? Or is that just not your scene?
Yeah, it's just not my scene.
Is D.C. a foodie town? Or is it just like,
I think it could be. I think it's getting there.
It's getting there. How is it getting there? Is it, are there anybody that's at the gray market that's helping move things along in the good way, Jesus Christ, in a positive manner?
Everybody there is just people who want to sell. So
okay.
People there, I've launched a few food trucks who are now out and doing their thing, so that's pretty great. And I got a guy who, White House Meats, who started, and he sells all kinds of meats, and he does charcuterie. And
Wait, what is that?
It's like
don't
meat
laugh.
That you cure.
Oh, okay.
Like ham.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound fancy at all when you say ham.
Sausage.
Do you eat meat?
Yeah.
Do you what are you able to like go home with a week's full of groceries from Gray Market?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you go to Safeway?
Sometimes Giant.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
I could see you going to Yes. I can't see you going to Giant. Have you been to the Giant, the 24-hour Giant? That one?
Which I go to the one in Columbia Heights.
Yeah. That one's great because no matter what hour of the day, you'll have a screaming kid and it's fantastic. It keeps you alive. Nothing like hearing a 3-year-old wail at you when you're a little hungover buying a frozen pizza at 5 a.m. That's life. I was there last night around 1 a.m. I like those sweet potato chips. I have an eating problem of my own. That's what I'm trying to say. Do you eat fast food?
I do on occasion.
Really? What's your favorite?
Well, there's a Popeyes 2 blocks from my house.
You know, I went to the Popeyes in New Orleans that has the really stereotypical lady talking about chicken in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
It was disappointing.
Yeah.
Your mom is here.
She is.
What does she think about this? Not the talk show, because I already know that's going to be, like, weird. But what does your mom think about you doing something that's, let's be honest, a lot of work, little payoff? Is she like, stop doing that. Go into business. I need Coke. Like, not her, just... That's what my mom says. I apologize.
Well, I am in business, so I've got that covered.
Okay, so you have a day job.
Yeah.
All right, so you're smart. And you live in a group house? I'm sorry, but come on. You're an adult.
Cheap. I'm an accountant.
You're an accountant and you live in a group house?
Yeah.
Because one doesn't fit the other, you got to smash them together so you're somewhere in the middle? Mm-hmm. Why do you live in a group house? I know you're cheap, but come on. Go to the suburbs. How many people do you live with?
Right now, 5.
That's too many. How do you do? Do you have a communal TV?
No.
You don't watch TV, do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Well, no. So the girl that runs the indie food market doesn't watch TV. I'm not shocked at all. What do when people find out that you do this? What do they think of this? Are they like shocked? Are they like, oh, it's another thing? Do they understand exactly what you're doing?
They do now.
Okay.
When I first started, they didn't really understand what I was doing, but they figured it out, and I've changed some things to make it easier to understand.
Would you recommend other people in other cities doing this, or is it just way too much work?
It depends on the city. Some cities are more open than others, but I get emails all the time from all over the country about how can I start this.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's got to warm your heart. I like to say that because that doesn't make any sense because your heart can't get warm by that. That's not how the brain works, Maya. What's the one piece of advice you would have for someone that's trying to start out that doesn't have a resource like Great DC? Let's say somebody in Pittsburgh really wants to sell heirloom tomatoes.
Right.
Wait, did somebody cheer heirloom tomatoes or Pittsburgh? And if so, why? And don't answer. Maya, go ahead.
The most important thing is to get a good venue.
Where's your venue?
It changes venues. I've done it in restaurants. I'm going to do it in a basement of a co-op. I've done it in a parking lot.
Did you ever go to a lot of basement shows at all in your youth? I'm not saying you're not young now, but like your colleges. Okay, so because what I really want to know is what smells worse, the indie food vendors or the basement show attendees? You probably can't answer that because you're very nice. What's the one thing that people in D.C. should know about for Great D.C.? How could people get involved? Do you need to be a vendor to be involved?
No, you could just show up, or you can be a volunteer. I always need volunteers to take money or
And it's easy volunteer work.
Yeah, it's 2 hours.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
So everyone should just do it. And if not, they're like an awful human being, and you're going to end up going to Giant every night of the week like me.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, when is the next one?
The next
audience
one.
Member who I cannot see. You know, you could text me and just I'll ask the question. You have my number, whoever it is, I'm assuming. When is the next one?
October 22nd.
Where's that at?
1365 Kennedy Street.
Okay, is it like a house or?
It's a basement of a co-op.
And people could find that address on your website?
I will put it up soon.
Which is, what's the website?
GreyDC.com.
GreyDC.com.
With an E.
With an E. Why not Gray? Because of Mayor Vincent Gray?
Yeah.
He's a weird dude. He's a weird dude. Started. Do you like Vincent Gray? You shouldn't answer that. You can get in trouble. I don't. That's why I'm in Arlington. No, I'm in Roslyn. Is this Arlington or Roslyn, by the way? I'm totally confused. Both? Ooh, it's both. Whatever. She's so nice. When we're going to end this interview with the questions from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD. Maya, I want you to know two things about this book before I ask you any questions. One, it's very, very dumb. And two, you can lie. So if it's anything inappropriate or you feel uncomfortable, fib. Okay? So you need to pick a number between 13 and 200.
43.
Why 43?
I like the number 4.
That's good.
I don't know why I picked 3.
Good answer. You get 49 because 43 was taken. If you and a close friend were attracted to each other and neither of you were involved with anyone else, do you think it would be jeopardizing your friendship if you decided to have sex?
Yes.
Good answer. Where can people find you online? Where should people find you online to follow you? Do you want Friendster? You want Friendster fans? You like Friendster? It's a good social media network. Not a lot of people there, but the people that are there are really loyal.
Yeah, we've got Facebook. We've got Twitter.
And what's the Facebook and Twitter?
I would just go to GreyDC.com and click on the Facebook or Twitter icon.
GreyDC.com. Please put your hands together for Maya Robinson, everybody. Band, take it away. Coming to the stage, the most immigranty guy that does comedy that we could find. Please put your hands together for Martin Plant, everybody. Martin Plant, play him on, gentlemen.
That's so seemingly unnecessary upon reflection. Hello, people I can't see because I'm blinded by light. How are we? That shit, all right? Okay, good. Can we at least try once? I know it's pandering and pathetic, but just so I can sleep at night with the disappointment of knowing this went badly for me, can you just yell as loudly as you can on the cheer of three? Pretend we're giving away blowjobs and candy. Just on the count of three. One, two, three. All right, good. That's the ball I'm waiting for. Does anybody else have insomnia? I sleep like shit. Oh, fuck you all for sleeping well. No offense. I sleep like shit. I have the worst sleep ever. And people give you advice when you have insomnia, and they tell you, well, you know, just go and lay down in a dark room. No, that's like telling an alcoholic to open a bar. That doesn't go well, right? A dark room to an insomniac is like a carnival. And so I lie in bed, and then everything I've ever done in 26 years goes around my head. Right? Oh, you should have never dumped that girl you dated 3 years ago. She really loved you. You're a fucking idiot. Hey, remember that song by Phil Collins you hate? I can feel it coming in the air. I'm going to play that in a loop for an hour. I'm going to read it. Hey, who invented time? I don't know. I'm trying to... Leave me alone. Right? There's nothing more disturbing than 3 o'clock telling yourself to leave yourself alone because you're being mean. Right? I'm not up on a lot of, like, psychology, but I'm fairly sure that's not in the good section. Right? I once asked myself a question the other night when I was suffering really badly with it. How did dinosaurs sleep? I don't know. So I start trying to break it down. I'm like, well, the big four-legged ones, the triceratopsy type things, they probably just like hunched down like cats. That would make sense. And then like raptors and things, they probably just laid down because they could get back up. And then I got to a T-Rex. I'm like, how the hell did that thing sleep? If it gets down on the floor, it's got such shitty polio arms, that's not going anywhere. Right? So what does it do? I have no clue. So I get on Google. And I get on Google at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, how did T-Rexes sleep? And Google goes, I have no fucking idea. Oh, God. I just got back from North Carolina, and I took an Amtrak. It's the first time I've ever taken a train here. And how in the hell is that still a thing? We have planes now. We don't need... It's ridiculous. It's like someone saw a plane and went, nah, I'd rather take a day longer and I'll save $3. Right? It's one step up from mule rides, basically. I mean, the slogan for Amtrak should be, Amtrak, we won't check you for weapons. But that should just be itself. There's no anything. So, I don't know if anybody has the same luck as me, but I get on this train, and I have my seat, and I get on, and there's the crazy, ticking, mumbling, talking-to-himself guy halfway down the carriage with an empty seat next to him. And I do that thing where you start making deals with whatever god or deity you believe in, where you're like, please don't put me next to that guy. I'll do anything. I'll go to church. I'll start a religion. I'll give money. Just please don't put me next to the gibbering freak. Right? So where do I end up sitting? 3 rows further forward. Next to a bigger freak I hadn't noticed. Right? This guy is completely out of his mind, but did one of the most brilliant things I've ever seen. And I've seen people do it before, but it never twigged with me. He's on the phone to someone I can't hear, right? So it's just Charlie Brown noise on the other end. But every answer the other person gives just pisses him off. And he goes till he gets calm, and then he gets angry again. And it was beautiful. So he'd be there, and he was on his phone. He's like, so did you get the wings done? Man, you can't fuck up wings. It's not possible. You just cook them, they get done, you can't fuck them up. There's no way. All right, look, forget about it. Did you talk to mom? Why did you tell mom that? And it's just like everything kept pissing this guy off. It was beautiful. But it's kind of weird to be here in like a failed planetarium or whatever this is. I don't know. I don't know. It looks like following me is like the Pink Floyd laser show or something. We all just get really high. I don't know, but I don't know. But I mean, like everybody here is dressed very nicely, and like, this is a good night out for you, and because you're in an area where there are jobs and people have jobs and good jobs, and you probably all got good jobs because you're smart people and because you know the shit to say in job interviews, right? You do. There's one basic spiel. It doesn't matter whether you're going to work at McDonald's or the head of government. It's the same basic speech they want you to give, which is I work well on my own or as part of a team. I have an excellent inside-outside knowledge. I know when it's appropriate to be silly, but I work hard. I also don't mind working overtime, providing I can get a little bit of foremost knowledge, and I want a career within this company. That's it. That's any job you want, right? That's all you say in the interview. The problem is they ask you questions, and I'm from a shithole piece of England, and I don't know you're supposed to say that, so I answer it honestly. And if you answer it honestly, you're not getting hired, right? When they say to me, so Mr. Plant, where do you see yourself in 10 years' time? And I go, shit, drinking like I do. If I'm on this liver, I'll be happy. Is that a good answer? No? All right, well, what can you bring to the company? A case of Budweiser and herpes. No, still not good? Okay. Well, what do you see as your weaknesses? Cocaine and strippers. You? Sorry, you know what we're looking for at the Burger King family. The dream dies. But I love that, though. I love when you go for menial jobs that we've all had, and we all have them after school and college and stuff, and you go for those shitty jobs at McDonald's and Burger King and Subway and all the rest of it, and they say to you, like, what are your hopes and dreams? You're like, the last thing you want me to have in this job is hopes and fucking dreams. If I have hopes and dreams, you'll find me with my head in the fryer in about 20, 25 minutes tops. Oh, God. And the thing is now, and this big thing at the minute is jobs. And the big thing is, like, people are like, people want jobs. People want to work. No, they don't. People want money. No one wants a fucking job. We need money. We have jobs because we need to. If you gave the option between here's a pile of money for free, or here's a place where someone's going to yell, I said no tomatoes, faggot, at you for an hour, you're going to take the money. Oh, God. I've been doing this for a really long time, and I did a show, and occasionally people come up to me after shows, and they say, hey, come drink with us. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're crazy, and sometimes they're not. And a group of people came up to me after a show I did recently, and they said, come drink with us. And I said, okay, why not? So we went out, we drank, we went back to some house party that someone was having, this big mansionish house. Now, I drink heavily, I always have, right? And the problem is, like, I like drinking, so I stay near the kitchen, which is where the booze is, right? That's I try and never strategically be too far away from the booze. So the people I left disappeared, and I went to the kitchen to get another drink. And I go into the kitchen, I open the refrigerator. Now, I can only ask you one question. Have you ever walked into a smell? The only people who are going to answer yes are people who know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about. Right? It's a smell so strong, it physically stops you in what you're doing mid-sentence. You go, what the fuck is that? Right? Now, I walk into a wall of smell. I grab my beer, I turn around, and behind me is the biggest woman I have ever seen being fucked by two guys on a three-legged table. Now, when I say big, I'm not being offensive and saying, like, little, but I'm talking like someone drew a circle with arms and legs on it. Like, 400, 500 pounds minimum. Minimum, right? And it's spilling out over the side of this table. It looks like someone melted a candle and just let it drip for an hour, right? And what's wrong with my brain? The problem with my brain is I see this, and my very first thought is, that's a well-made table. You don't get craftsmanship like that anymore. And, I don't know. I smoke. Any smokers in? Thanks, four people who are going to die early. I've smoked. I love smoking. I do. And the thing with smoking is people come up to me. Like, I do shows and I come outside and old ladies and nice people will come up to me and they'll tap me on the shoulder and be like, excuse me, do you not know smoking's bad for you? And you're like, yes. It's not that. Of course I fucking do. It's not like I'm missing it. I mean, I can't fuck for more than 3 or 4 minutes without getting a cramp, right? If I see a tall flight of stairs, I have to gauge whether it's worth going up them or not because I'm out of breath halfway through. But I'm aware of it, right? It's a choice. It's a lot like a Jehovah's Witness, right? Follow me. Stick with me. A Jehovah's Witness will knock on your door and say, hello, have you heard the word of God? And you go, yes, but I couldn't give a shit, right? It's not an ignorance. You've heard of the guy. No one's ever knocked on someone's door. A Jehovah's Witness has answered it, and they've gone, Jesus who? And he built it in a week. Come on in, tell me more. No one's ever done that. It's never happened. But I'll leave you with a story, which is being English, it's weird, because sometimes things I say mean the same thing here, and sometimes it means something different. Sometimes it doesn't mean anything. And one of the major differences is, in England, we call cigarettes fags. Packet of fags, cigarettes, a fag, right? And I did a gig in Topeka, Kansas. You're already ahead of me. And I went up to this guy outside a show, and I went, excuse me, can I bum a fag? And in one of the sweetest moments I've ever had in my life, this really redneck guy turned around to me and went, none of my business, which I thought was quite nice. Thank you, guys.
Martin Plan, everybody. Martin. I'd like to point out that your fake British accent is equally as bad as my fake British accent.
There you go.
I'm not nearly as funny as Martin, so I just stole titles, potential titles, from your set for your first album. Do you have an album?
Yeah.
All right, for your second album.
Okay.
Do you have, what's your first album called?
Leading the Horses.
Where can they be, where can that be found?
If you hassle me for it, fair I enough. Can get you a copy.
All right, cool. Here's another few more potential titles. Who Invented Time?
Yep.
How Did Dinosaurs Sleep? A Case of Budweiser and Herpes, but that's only if you get a Budweiser sponsorship.
That's true.
The Dream Dies, especially in this city. That'd be work. And People Want Money.
That's good.
You're married.
Yes.
How is that working out?
Like anybody who's married.
Medium?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Medium's good. Medium is high when you're married. Medium is like the ceiling moves down, and you're like, I lost all my dreams, but you know what? I'm still breathing. That's essentially.
I'm getting married within the year. Do you have any advice for me?
Don't do it. No. No. Let's I'm see. Fucking with you.
Come on.
You. No, it's fine. It's like, it's essentially just like someone decided to take your relationship and make it legally binding.
Why is that bad?
Because why should anything be legally binding?
Because you're going to die young and she needs some money from the will. I mean,
I have no money now. I mean, like,
life insurance policy. Do you have a life insurance policy?
Yes.
Really?
Do you have any
Smart.
Idea how high my premium is? So you drink and smoke. Yes. And you spend a lot of time on air travel. Yes. And buses. Yes. And you're in bad areas of town late at night with cash on you. Yes. Okay. This is going to be great. It's a nightmare.
Do you have a death pool? And if so, what's your pick?
Oh, I did last year. I didn't this year. I have no
Wait,
idea.
Wait, it changes year to year?
What? Yeah.
It's like your fantasy football team, but
exactly.
You're dying? Okay,
well,
fine.
Well, I mean, you've got, you know, you can't just, like, things happen in the year. You gotta, you know, if someone kicks a heroin habit, that's gonna drop the rates. And so you gotta
well,
stay
you
current.
Kicked a heroin habit.
Did I?
Fair enough. Best part about living in D.C. in terms of comedy. Is there a best part about living in D.C. in terms of comedy? Good answer.
Really.
Favorite room in the country. What's favorite underrated?
What's underrated? The Midwest.
But, like, give me a specific city.
Kansas City.
Why Kansas City?
Because it's basically a big
did
amount.
Did you hear that roar of applause?
I did hear that roar of applause.
Man, yeah.
From one man who's eaten barbecue food in his life. But no, because it's what people forget is, when you go to a big city like New York or mm-hmm. LA, it's full of interesting people because it's supposed to be. Everyone thinks that's where you go. When you go somewhere like Kansas City, it's an amalgamation of all the people from four states who don't have anything else to do, so all go there. And you don't expect it, so it's like a bonus gift.
All right. But so, now that people expect it because of your high advice, are you high? That's a shit question. I'm
it
so
was,
sorry.
It was pretty bad. It was kind
that's
of Christmas.
A George Lopez question. That's why we're going to end this interview like the George Lopez show was just canceled from the question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex.
Okay.
Wait, were you gasping about George Lopez getting canceled? That happened like months ago, by the way, and none of you watched. So I need you to pick a number between 1 and 200, or 13 and 200, I apologize.
All right. What happened to the first 12?
They've been asked. We okay. retire the questions. We rip them out of the book. And
that's nice.
This is your
it's
souvenir.
Of, it's kind of Gretzky-ish.
Yeah.
All right.
Go where the puck is going, not where it is.
169.
I like Gretzky. You a hockey fan?
Not really.
Yeah, what a shock. The British comic doesn't that's wearing To Write Love on Her Arms shirt doesn't like hockey. Way too indie rock, I apologize.
Yeah, that was kind of.
You are beginning an exciting romance and learn that your partner, who badly wants children, would almost certainly leave you if he or she discovered that you were unable to have kids. If you were almost sure that you could never have a child, would you try to hide the fact for a while or reveal it right away?
Human trafficking.
Martin, where can people find you online?
MartinPlantComedy.com.
And anything on iTunes they could buy or anything?
Not yet.
Fantastic. Martin Plant, everybody, put your hands together for Martin. These guys are great. Give them a round of applause. Ian and Nathan. Will you guys do me a favor and play The Passenger first for the second show so I could not be a total dick when you play a song I really like? No, it's over. I've ruined my opportunity. Great. Since we're in the artisphere, I decided to bring up a special guest. I haven't met this man, but Peter says he is the world's greatest German art critic, and he's here to critique the artisphere. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Helmut, everybody. Please put your hands together for Helmut. Oh, hey, Helmut, how are you?
Thank you, Brandon. Thank you for having me here. Thank you.
You are a German art critic. You seem awfully young to be an art critic.
Yes, I know. Yes.
Are you okay? You seem very sad.
Listen, dour. I'm a local art critic. I critique art for the local newspaper, the New York Times of Arlington.
Okay.
And I'm here to do two things. I'm here because I love art. I want to review the artosphere. And I'm also here because I love your show.
Oh, you listen to the show.
I think it's amazing. I think that it encapsulates the story of if a tree falls in the middle of the forest and no one listens to it. Like, can you hear it? So when I listen to your show, it's like it's amazing. It's a man transmitting his thoughts and dreams onto the internet, and clearly no one is at the other end. So I think that is the most beautiful type of art.
Would you consider writing about me for the New York Times of Arlington?
Yes. In fact, I've written about you.
Oh, you have?
Yes, but it's not for the New York Times of Arlington. I also do erotic fiction.
Oh, really?
Yes. No, you're not a subject of the eroticism, but instead you are a prop, you are a being, you are a life form, you are art. You see... Brandon, when you boil art down into its basic core elements, what you get is basically two things. You get penises and vaginas. In fact, one of my favorite artists, Georgia O'Keeffe, she used to make paintings of giant cocks in the middle of the desert.
I think you're mixing up some artists.
Well, you see, the thing is, Brandon, the greatest manifestation of art is death, is actually becoming part of the Velvet Night, the eternal sleep.
I feel like we're in the Velvet Night in this room. It's very nice. What do you have to say about the artosphere?
I have to say that, you know, I'm missing something here at the artosphere. Like, where is the controversy, okay? Where is the sex? Okay, that's really what I want. You know, but I have to say, like, out of all of the things here at the Artosphere, probably the most cheat thing here would have to be you, Brandon.
You just said you like the show.
Because this is not who you are, Brandon. There are people here in this room.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Brandon, you're selling your soul. I'm now a different...
What is that, Helmut? You were saying something.
I studied at Oxford, so I slip into a British accent sometimes.
All right, well, what's one thing that people should check out while they're at Artosphere?
When you check out a painting, you know, it's very beautiful because the artist paints on the front of the painting. But what I ask is, what is on the other side of the painting?
All right, where can people find you online, Helmut?
I am the president of a fan club of a show on television. I don't watch any television. I just watch one show. It's called The Glee. I believe that is the highest form of art because it is death. It is nothingness. But it is also everything. You see what I'm saying? It's different things, different elements coming together, making an orgy of different elements. And that is what art is, the show Glee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you want to find me, we meet every time Glee airs on the television station that it airs on. So you can look me up on the internet. My Twitter handle is at fucktyler. I'm everywhere and I'm nowhere and I'm art.
Helmut, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Silo Halo, everybody.
Shout out to Maya and Petworth.
structures, concrete and steel.
shouldn't be here in this town. I have to put you first. Always put you first. I will always put you first.
what that's like. This avalanche of archives does the dust into the light.
Thank you. We're Silo Halo from Washington, D.C., Petworth to be specific. Thank you to Brandon and all the guests and the artist fair.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Have a wonderful night. Thanks to Drew up there. He's a fantastic sound man.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.